from the office of the President Emeritus. No, really, they let me in here. Well, sometimes. You're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. My name is Steve Heaser. Now, as promised, this is the second half of an interview between our President Emeritus, Colleen Barrett, and Peter Capelli, who is a professor with the MBA program at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. Colleen spoke to him by phone, and I believe an office full of students, and I was shooting video so that Peter could later show his full class the interview. So this is the audio of that event. Now, if you're interested in hearing the first part, which I highly recommend, that podcast is titled Colleen Barrett Speaks to MBAs, and it was from January 6th, 2010.
We're looking at Southwest in an industry where a lot of companies have been bankrupt and they lower their cost structures after restructuring.
Yes.
You folks were the low-cost leader in terms of a lot of aspects and costs. You've now got a lot of startups and low-cost airlines, including some of the big ones. How do you see Southwest competing going forward?
Well, you know, we've never been afraid of competition. I hope this doesn't sound too Pollyanna-ish, but people have always been able to match our planes. They've always been able to match our cost. Not that they have a whole lot, but now there's a lot more low-cost carriers than, you know, even 10 years ago. They've always been able to, if they were inclined, they could match our frequency of service. They could probably outspend us in terms of advertising. They have a lot of amenities that we've never offered. But they've never been able to match our spirit or our people. And I know a lot of folks say that about companies, but ours is very real, Peter. It's one of those intangibles that is hard to quantify. But if you're like me and you read and hear and listen to every single piece of feedback that you get, you learn that it is those small things that make the biggest differences in people's lives. And I'm not saying we're perfect. And I mean, we have never purported to offer all things to all people. We've always known who we were. We've always been upfront. We've always been honest with our customers. We don't nickel and dime them to death. I'm hopeful that at least you've seen some of our current, you know, no bag fees ads, which are an overwhelming success. And our customers over time have come to realize that we deliver on our promises. Actually, I think it's safe to say that we under-promise and over-deliver on every single aspect of customer service delivery. And we get that played back to us a million times, you know, a year by way of feedback. So I'm not saying that there are not other carriers that are capable of doing all of that. There are. But I think the biggest difference up to 2009, that's all I can speak to. You know, I don't have a crystal ball, but up until 2009, we've always been very open about our culture, very open about our values and our mission, if you will. And people come in and they study. We have no secrets. We spit it all out there for the world to hear. But they really believe that we have programs, you know, that we put out a program of the week or a program of the quarter, and we don't do that. At Southwest Airlines, the way we live is just a way of life. And we first hold ourselves accountable for living that way of life before we can ever hold our employees accountable for it. But we kind of police ourselves, if you will. And you know, it's not perfect. We make mistakes. And when we make mistakes, we are the first to apologize. We are very proactive about going out and apologizing or explaining what has gone wrong when we know something has gone wrong. On the other hand, we have complete trust in our employees, and we have empowered our employees to basically, as long as it's not illegal, unethical, or immoral, to do whatever they feel that they need to do, regardless of rules, as long as it's not illegal, regardless of rules, to do what is right for the customer at the point of happening, as opposed to waiting, you know, to come back to us sitting here in Dallas, Texas. We're not there. We can't see what's happening on a daily basis, and we let them use their judgment. And our employees get that. They really understand it. I mean, we have great stories. And it's not, again, it's not the big things. It's the little things. It's, I tell you a story. I don't really want to go into the details of the situation, but this is a very touching thing that just happened to me last week. I took my kids to Las Vegas for the Thanksgiving, and I was checking in, coming back on Sunday morning, and there was a RAM employee, you know, a security person, at the standing behind the SkyCap counter at the curb. And when I got out of the car with my bag, he said, are you Colleen Barrett? And I said, yes. And he introduced himself, and he said, I said, how did you know who I was? And he said, well, he said, you will never remember this. He said, but, and he told me about a situation that he had been involved in as a passenger on Southwest Airlines. And it was a very traumatic experience for him. And he said, you won't remember this, but you called me on the phone for three different times. You called me over a three-week period to be sure that I was okay and that your company had handled me properly. And he said, I have never forgotten that. And he said, I tell that story all the time. So it's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And to tell you the truth, I didn't remember it. I came back and looked it up right away.
Yeah.
But, and I say that not because it was me, because it could have been a pilot, a SkyCap, a rap agent. We don't have a lot of it's not my job mentality at Southwest. Basically, everyone knows that everybody is a customer service representative, no matter what their job title.
When you look into the future and you think about Southwest going forward, what would you say is the biggest risk if you're worried about anything for the company? What are you worried about?
Well, you constantly worry. I mean, with the economy and the price of fuel alone are enough to keep you awake at night. But, you know, the thing I worry the most about, and always have, I mean, it's not new, is that we will become complacent. Or I think our biggest concern is always ourselves. We have to be sure that every single new hire commits to the same living the Southwest way that I talked about, to the same mission, and basically has the same kind of passion for customer service. I tell new hires all the time, if you're not, you know, a touchy-feely person, if you can't laugh at yourself, if you don't want to be a servant leader, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're an evil person. It doesn't mean that we won't try to help you find a job somewhere else. But what it does mean is you don't want to be in the customer service business. You have to have a passion for serving. And if that is not within you, we'll try to help you get what you need somewhere else, but you will not fit within our environment. If you don't naturally, instinctively, and intuitively understand and follow the golden rule, you're just going to, you know, you almost self-eject from this kind of culture, you know, because the peer pressure is worse than probably any leadership discipline or challenges, because your fellow workers won't let you get away with that.
Let me ask you a last question for our folks in the room here who are in a year going to be out and beginning a life as managers, leaders, executives. What would you tell them in terms of advice? Anything to tell them?
Well, I would say I would never take a job or go back to a job, in your cases, for the money, the pay, the title, or the position. I would never, no matter how much a job was touted. I would never go to work for somebody that I didn't believe, or for a company whose mission I didn't believe in. And I would always worry far more about my decisions would have to be based upon what is better for my company as a whole versus what is better for me individually. I really do believe that the best leaders out there, no matter what the company, are people that know when to lead and when to follow. And I think that the best leaders out there have to appreciate and really work hard to assure that there are collective efforts and team efforts versus one-man shows, if you will. And I just think you have to have a ton of passion. You know, all this stuff about life-work balance and all that, I mean, it's there, yes. But if you're, it kind of goes back to the vocation and the avocation. If they're, I think the most blessed people in the world are people whose whole families, and I've been lucky this way, not that I have a big family because I don't, but my family has always talked, when they talk about Southwest, they say we. That's a big thing for me because there's no one from my family that's on the Southwest payroll except me. But if they really get it and they understand what Southwest is trying to do, then they become part of all the celebrations. They become part of the community efforts. It's a very collective, perhaps another way of saying it is we have a very egalitarian spirit here. And yeah, we've got titles and we've got, you know, some organizational structure. You can't be our size and not have it. But we don't, I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whose title is what. Nobody has more pull than anybody else. I just feel so strongly about that. So I would say don't ever take a job for the paycheck or the title. And don't ever take a job just because you think, well, I'll try this, you know, for a few months. But if it doesn't work, you know, I can always go somewhere else. If you don't go into a job because you are gung-ho, passionate about what you want to be doing, then I say sit around until you find, I mean, keep looking. Don't just take a job to take a job. I don't want anyone ever taking a job with Southwest Airlines just because they need a paycheck. I want them to sign on at Southwest because I want them to believe in the cause that we believe in, and that is, you know, that we've opened up the skies of America for people to fly. And, you know, we do it very, very well.
Well, Colleen, thanks very much for taking time to talk to us, and best of luck to you and the company.
You are so welcome. I wish you all the best, and happy going back to wherever you're going back to, and I hope that once in a while you buy a little love ticket and buy my bacon for a while.
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2010. The President Emeritus has indicated that we have come to the conclusion of this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.